The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Chose to be with us on our open house Sunday at Bethel Baptist Church. We want to record your visit if we could do that today. I won't put you on a mailing list, but I would like to just send you a thank you and a little gift we have for you today. So if you're our guest today and you haven't received a visitor's card, would you please just raise your hand? We have a little gift for you, a pen that you can take with you. If you ever need anything, our address and phone number's on there, and you're more than welcome to have that. Would you just slip up your hand? Our ushers will come very quickly and give you a pen and a visitor's card right over here, gentlemen. And we have some others scattered around. If you've been here before, that's all right. We still want to have a record of your visit, and we'd like to give you a pen this morning. So please just slip up your hand. All right, and our ushers are coming around. And just keep your hand held up high. We're going to sing that third verse together. And while we're singing, please get one of those cards and just drop it in our offering plate. That's the only thing we want you to drop in the offering plate today if you're visiting with us. We don't want you to feel obligated in any other way. We're just glad that you're here and you're our guest today. Let's sing the third verse. Redeemer, Savior, Friend of Man. Keep your hand up if you haven't received your little gift yet.
Redeemer, Savior, Friend of Man.
Sing it this morning.
His name is wonderful. His name.
Thank you, choir. What a great song. Let's take our hymn books again and join the choir in song as we sing 100. I lost my song. You didn't put it up here, Brother Judge. 128, I believe. 128. No, number 58. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Let's stand as we sing this morning. Number 58. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Celebrate their 58th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. And then on Friday, September the 25th, Frank and Bonnie Lloyd, 44 years. And we praise the Lord for long marriages. That's wonderful. Today, Tony Pathy turns 16 years old. So stay off the sidewalks. Amen. We're happy for Tony. He's excited about it. We were talking about it over there. So wish him a happy birthday. One of our bus children, Teal Wass, is tomorrow. Dennis Cahill has a birthday this Friday. We won't share your age, Brother Cahill. And then on also Emily's on Friday. They didn't write that down, but Emily Fury is on Friday, September 25th. She turned 17. Then one of our bus kids, Kayla Doyle, Saturday, September 26th. So let's shake hands this morning as the choir joins us. The instruments play, and let's greet these folks and congratulate them for birthdays and anniversaries. Let's sing that last verse together, number 3.
Love you like you and mom and dad. Love my Christ and dad and me. This will be my theme and man of friendly. Great grieving world of Calvary. In love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful.
God bless you. We're glad you're here this morning. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. We're glad that you're here together in the house of the Lord. We'll go ahead and have a seat this morning. We've got a couple little things we want to do before we have our opening prayer time. And we're so honored today to have you as our guests, and we're thankful also to have Diane Finley, our member of parliament for our area and riding in Simcoe here. And so I'm going to ask her to come to the platform. She's just going to greet you today. And I'm going to be honest, I was very thankful for Mrs. Finley as she was invited to come, but she would not come without my permission because she didn't want to misunderstand anybody to misunderstand she is not here to campaign. And so I appreciate that spirit, don't you, that she just wanted to come be a part of our day. But I've invited her just to give you a greeting. So would you like to come up here? All right, we'll get you a microphone. And then we'll have Brother McPherson open in prayer.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone.
Pray for
you to be back here today. First of all, I'd like to thank Barb and John Kirkwood for inviting me. Thank you so much. As Pastor said, during elections, I stay away because I don't want people to think I'm here for the wrong reasons. You know, as I look around here today and see such a good turnout, I say a prayer of thanks, because I see young people here, not just grown-ups, but young people here too. And too often when I attend services, there isn't a head in the congregation that isn't gray. And sometimes a good Sunday has 15 people turn up. So this is very special, because I really believe that the family is the strongest, the most fundamental institution that we have. And the family that prays together stays together. And when we have a bunch of families praying together as a congregation, that builds a strong church, and strong churches build strong communities. So speaking of strong communities, one of the things that communities do is support each other. And although I sent a note after it happened, I am really very humbled to have the opportunity to say to you in person today, thank you. Thank you to so many of you who were so generous in your prayers and in your direct support when I lost my dear husband, Douglas, a couple of years ago. You have no idea how much that meant to me. So thank you very much for that as well. And with that, I'd just like to say, once again, I'm delighted and honored to be here. Thank you for that. Thank you for building our community and making it even stronger. God bless.
It's so nice to have everybody that worked so hard for this open house, and you're much appreciated. And we're so thankful to have Harry Strachan Jr. here with us from Calvary Baptist Church in Ashton, Ohio. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy him if you haven't heard him before. He's a great preacher and a great singer. And if we could have the ushers come forward at this time, we're going to take the offering. We'd like to welcome those viewing by TV and viewing by live stream. We have a tremendous Sunday school class. We didn't have it this morning because we had an open house, and we had a breakfast, wonderful breakfast, and I had something wonderful to eat. I had a little piece of donut that was just covered in sugar. Linda Fury gave it to me, and oh, wow, was that ever good. And then we have our evening service, 6 o'clock. We have our worship service at 10:45 Sunday morning. We have a Wednesday night, also 7 o'clock, we have prayer meeting and Bible study. So you're more than welcome to come. Austin, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thank you for all the visitors that came out, Lord. I pray that as they're here today, so we accept you as a Savior, Lord, and give the gospel message today, Lord. And I pray that as we take this offering, all the money you use for your honor,
after.
You should ask me if there's a bomb in that too.
Amen. Well, we are glad to have our guest, Pastor Harry Strachan, with us, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio. He's going to come and sing a couple at this time. If you like what you hear, he has some of his CDs. This CD was made, he's gone, several years ago.
You can tell by the picture.
When did you make this?
I can't remember.
About 10 years, maybe? Yeah. So quite a while ago, but some good old songs on there. If you'd like to get one of those, they're just $5, and you can see him in the lobby after the service. All right, we're glad to have Pastor Strachan.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect peace, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand, my name is written on his heart. I know that while he stands above, no tongue can bid me then depart. No tongue can bid me then depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of my guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because my sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. When life is hid in Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. My God.
I'm glad we do serve a God, and he is seated at the right hand of his Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Years and years ago, those of you that have been around for many, many years, as I can start to say, this is a great old gospel song. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And I say often, I'd much rather go by the uppertaker than the undertaker. And I'm praying for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is coming soon. This song goes way back. It's one of the old gospel standard quartet type songs. But I'm glad one day I'll be touring that city.
Many times I have wondered about the sights of that city and all that my eyes shall behold. I will see all the wonder when I enter that city and forever be safe in his fold. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the sun of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street, so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. With Jesus, the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. Now here on earth we'll have troubles that to us seem so heavy, but in heaven no one will be sad. Everyone will be singing, heaven's praise will be ringing for the dearest time I've ever had. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. You'll find me there on the street, so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. With Jesus, the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will never abide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. You'll find me there on the street, so pretty, made of gold, so pure and so bright. With Jesus, the one who gave me the victory, who led me across the divide. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where with him I will ever abide. Where with him I will ever abide.
385. Let's stand as we sing, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. 385.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior is He. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft.
On the buses today, you're getting Timbits. All right, so we're going to sugar you up and send you home. All right, so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Brother Calvin's going to lead us in prayer this morning and ask God's blessing on our junior church time.
God, we thank you so much for these boys and girls. I thank you for the opportunity to work with them, to minister to them. God, I pray that you give us a great time here in church and help the boys and girls to enjoy it as well. In your name, amen.
Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Let's sing that second verse together.
Oh, Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my breath away. He calleth me up that I shall be good. He giveth me strength, that's my name. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.
it out, when clothed in his brightness. Let's sing it together.
When clothed in his brightness, transformed.
Extended now,
Great song to precede our message this morning. Jesus can change your life. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hear all about that in just a minute. We are thankful to have Pastor Strachan with us today. Let me say this, if you are our guest, I want you to just go to Pastor Strachan and say, I'm a guest here today, and he will give you one of these free of charge, all right? And I'll pay you for those. You just tell me how many, and we'll make sure we pay. Now, if you've never met him before, you might lie to him and get one for free, but you know the Lord is listening, all right? So these are for our guests. We want to make sure our guests get one of those, so please take one, and we'll make sure you have one of those tonight. Come tonight. What we're going to do, I just decided we're going to throw away our order of service. We're just going to have a hymn sing. All right? So you come, and you come with your favorite hymn, your favorite song out of the hymn book. We're just going to have a good old-fashioned hymn sing. Pastor Strachan's going to sing 30, 40 songs. When we're tired of hearing him sing, we'll have him preach, all right? So come, we're just going to relax tonight, have lots of singing, good preaching. You'll want to be here at 6 o'clock, all right? So let's have Pastor Strachan come to our pulpit. Let's have our Bibles ready to hear from the Word of God today.
Most people say they would rather hear me sing than preach, but that's a scary thought too. But I want to say this, if Pastor Fury is going to pay for those CDs for all of the guests, number one, you are all guests today, and number two, the price is not $5, it's $10, all right? So let's just get that all straight right now, and we'll handle that one. I like that. Good man. All right. Thank you for being here today. Beautiful day. And we drove up yesterday and crossed the border into Windsor. And I'll tell you what, I never drove for so long. I drove in torrential rain until I got to Tillsonburg. I could not believe it. And I thought the Lord was trying to tell me something, coming back to the homeland and build an ark or something. But beautiful day today. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 10, if you would. As you're turning there, let me again just say I expected the regular comment that I got when I got here, which is usually one of two things. I haven't been up here for quite a few years now, and it's usually one of two things. It's, man, you're starting to look like your dad. Well, my dad's dead. And that's a scary thing. So I hope I don't look dead this morning. And number two, it's, man, you're getting bald. Well, that is partially from my dad, but I thank God I'm not as bald as your pastor yet. Amen? I'm working on it, but we are getting older, aren't we? And there's not much we can do about it. And I'm looking at some of you today that I've known for many, many years. You're getting old too, let me tell you. But it's a great thing to grow old gracefully, and Lord willing, we'll do it. I hope. Let's just break a little bit. I'm going to sing you another little song right now. And a matter of fact, somebody gave this to me on my 50th birthday, all right, which was just last year. Not quite. And I thought, you know, this is so good. I said, I'm going to be seeing old friends and people that we're all getting older together. It happens. What are you going to do? But this was a little song they gave me. You may recognize the tune, but you won't know these words, all right? I'm just going to sing it a cappella here, and let it be a blessing and encouragement to you today as we all grow old together, all right? And just lighten up for just a minute, then we'll get spiritual again in just a second. But it goes like this. I hope I can get it right. May locks and nose drops and needles for knitting, walkers and handrails and new dental fittings, bundles of magazines tied up with string, these are a few of my favorite things. Cadillacs and cataracts, hearing aids and glasses, Polident and Fixident, false teeth and glasses, pacemakers, golf carts, and porches with swings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the pipes leak and the bones creak and our knees go bad, well, I remember my favorite things and then I don't feel so bad. Verse 2. Hot tea and crumpets, corn pads for bunions, no spicy hot food, nor food cooked with onion, bathrobes and heat pads and hot meals they bring, these are a few of our favorite things. Back pains, confused brains, and no fear of sinning, thin bones and fractures and hair that's a thinning, And we won't mention our short, shrunken frames when we remember our favorite things. When our joints ache and our hips break and our eyes grow dim, just try to remember the great life you've had, and then you won't feel so bad. Well, there you go. That's the best I can do. Amen. So that's for the 50 and over gang. And a lot of us are there and beyond. Amen? All right. Sorry, any of the family, which are getting spread out all over, couldn't be here. Andrea's keeping the fort at home. And Joanna is down south living and with her husband, Jared. And she did give us, if you didn't know, our first grandson back on December the 24th. And a Christmas Eve baby, and that was quite an occasion. And believe it or not, this is going to give a heart attack to some of you who've been around for a while. Tyler is in Michigan, and he just got engaged. Can you believe it? My prayers have finally got answered. And thank God she's a good Christian young lady, and he'll be getting married, Lord willing, May the 6th. He did it right, though. He said, Dad, I'm going to do it right, and he brought her over to Toronto and spent the weekend and got engaged on Center Island in Toronto. And so he has his Canadian blessing. Amen? And we thank the Lord for that. And by the way, I want you to know I am training my grandchild in the way he should go. Amen? He's got the right cap on. And when the Leafs finally get somewhere, I'll get him a Leaf cap. Amen? But it's going to be a growing year and a patient year this year, if you're a Leaf fan as I am. And I believe I've heard that since 1967, if I'm not mistaken. Amen? But there you go. That's Lucas. And a matter of fact, he's coming up to see us tomorrow. And so I'm excited for that. But there you go, training a child in the way he should go. Amen. All right, let's get spiritual. Mark chapter number 10 this morning. I want you to turn there. And I'm not used to this because our morning service starts at 10 o'clock and we're usually out by 11:10. And so, wow, I've got a long way to go. And you hold on and we'll try to pull it all together as quickly as possible, all right? I want you to think about something this morning, and it's this quote as we look at this message. Please think about this. It's not religion, it's a relationship that makes the difference. It's not religion, it's relationship that makes the difference. I'm not saying religion as such is a bad thing, but a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a greater thing. And that can make all the difference in your life. Let me say this morning, that all across Canada today, there'll be thousands of people going to churches and doing their religious duty. But can I say they're going to come out of their service, many of them today, and they're going to be the same people, and they're going to pick up their same life, and their religious duty being fulfilled, there's been no change within their heart, within their thoughts, within their mind, within their soul. They've gone and they've done their religious duty, but nothing's different. You see, folks, that's the difference between religion and relationship. When you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changes. Your outlook on life will change. Your attitude will change. Your choices will change. And can I say this? It's all for the better. Can I say to you today, as a world, as a nation, we don't need to get farther away from the Word of God. We need to get closer to the Word of God. We don't need to get farther away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to draw closer. And I want to give you an example out of Scripture this morning from Mark chapter number 10 that challenges us on this thought. Am I involved with religion or do I have a relationship with Christ? The title of my message is this, and I do like alliteration when I can do it, and so you're going to hear one today. The title of my message is this, Blind Bartimaeus Brings a Bountiful Blessing by Bellowing Boldly. I'll write that one down, all right? Blind Bartimaeus brings a bountiful blessing by bellowing boldly. Let's read this great story from the Word of God. And let me remind you today, we believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is God's book for the people of God. I believe the Word of God from cover to cover. I believe the inspired, infallible, and errant preserved Word of God for us today. It's God's absolute authority. We can trust it. We can believe it. And I thank God for it. And so as we read this story concerning this man named Bartimaeus and the Lord's relationship to him, I want you to understand today that certainly we believe the truth of God's Word. Now here's what happened. Verse number 46 of Mark chapter number 10. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Blind Bartimaeus brings a bountiful blessing by bellowing boldly. Here is a man that we may look upon in society with a lot of issues and a lot of problems. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I want you to see that it is a man that desired Jesus Christ. But I want you to know as the story begins in verse number 46, it's sort of funny because the Lord doesn't give us a lot of details of concerning what he did in the city of Jericho. As a matter of fact, all it says is in verse 46 that they went into Jericho and as they went out of Jericho. And so we don't know what transpired there, but we certainly know what took place as he came out of the city. And I want you to notice, if you would, that the disciples and a great number of people were around him. And so notice with me and try to put in your mind's eye the city of Jericho. It was a walled city. And they're leaving the city out of one of the gates. And Jesus of Christ, the great teacher, the Son of God, God in flesh, the great miracle worker, is performing his ministry. And as he's leaving the city, the Bible says that his disciples are all around him, which I believe was more than just the 12. And also it says there was a great number of people. Now, friends, that's going to be very important for us to remember in just a few moments. So picture it again in your mind. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, this great master teacher, the Savior. To some, yes, maybe just a great political figure, but great interest in the man Jesus. His disciples are with him. A great crowd, a throng of people all around him because of what the Lord had been doing. I don't know about you, but I've been in many times and many situations where there's been maybe a sports figure or a political figure, and you know that because there's a great crowd of people around them. There's an interest. They want to get a picture with him or they want to get an autograph. And I think it's a natural and sort of an exciting thing depending on the situation. I've had the opportunity when I lived here in Canada. I remember when Prime Minister Mulroney came and visited the Simcoe area, and me and a couple of buddies went over where he came in. There was a great number of people, but we got in there early, and we were able to meet him and shake his hand. And whether you agreed or disagreed, it was just sort of a neat thing to meet the Prime Minister of Canada. That was an honor. We had the opportunity one time to go to a rally in Ohio, and whether, again, you agreed or didn't agree, second President Bush was in office, and he came, and we were able to get in there, and we were able to meet him and shake his hand. It was just sort of a neat thing. Wow, I've met a president of the United States. And in both those situations, there's a great, huge throng of people and gathering, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I wonder today how many people would throng around the Lord Jesus Christ if he were literally here. I hope and pray that all of us here today that know him in a relationship way would desire to be around and see Jesus just like these people, amen? Just to be able to talk with him, to be able to greet him, to be able to get to know him personally. What an opportunity. That's what was taking place here. And so he's leaving the city. There's a great crowd of people, but just off to the side on this dirt road that left Jericho was an individual named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is blind. And because of that, he's sitting at the side of the highway and hoping that as people enter in the city and leave the city, that some may show some loving kindness to him with some type of a gift or some type of help, because he was blind, and because of that, he was a beggar. And Back in these days, there wasn't a whole lot that society did for these type of people with such needs. But in verse number 47, I believe whether he asked a question or somebody just told him, he hears that all this commotion and all this crowd and all this talk is because there's a central figure, and it's Jesus Christ. Some way, somehow, Bartimaeus knew about the Lord, because I want you to notice the first point this morning in my message is this, that blind Bartimaeus found out that Jesus Christ was there. That Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was there. He's blind. He's over by the side of the highway. He can't get to where all the commotion and the crowd is, but he knew if he was going to receive a blessing that he was going to have to somehow get a relationship with Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, there were some things that we need to see, first of all. And I want you to see this morning today, friend, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, if you want to know the one that can give you the gift of eternal life, if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life, there's some things you're going to have to do, just like Bartimaeus did. This is what we might call a typology lesson, where we're going to take a literal true story from the Word of God and apply it to a teaching for us today. And our teaching today is simply this: the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. If you ever hope to get to heaven, it's not by religion, it's by relationship with Christ. Listen to me this morning on the authority of the Word of God. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't get to heaven by going to church. You can come to Bethel Baptist Church here in Simcoe until you're blue in the face, and it won't get you into heaven. You can be as religious as you think you can be or need to be, and it will not get you to heaven. You can get baptized, catechized, homogenized, pasteurized, and all of it, but that won't get you to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. You can't get to heaven on your own. Now, that's what religion can teach if we're not careful. Religion says if you will do and you will do and you will do and you will do and keep this and keep that and hopefully do this and hopefully do that, then hopefully one day the good will outweigh the bad and hopefully you'll make it one day and everything will be all right. My friends, the Bible's teaching on eternal life and heaven is not a hope-so, it's a no-so. And it comes by a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not of works. Let me ask you this. If it is of works, how can you ever know when you've finally done enough? You can't. That's why it becomes a hope-so religion. I've talked to many people over the years, and many times I ask them, listen to me, answer me this question. When you die one day, do you know you're going to heaven? And almost so many times they'll say to me, I hope so. I hope so. Friends, can I tell you today, salvation through Christ, going to heaven, having the gift of eternal life, it's not a hope-so thing, it's a no-so through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, that's God in heaven, but by me. I thank God for one of the great freedoms we enjoy in this country, in the U.S. as well, the freedom of religion. I thank God for that. All across our countries today, people are worshiping as they feel they should worship, and that's a wonderful right and privilege we enjoy. But I want to remind you today, according to the Bible, the Word of God, heaven is found by a relationship with Jesus Christ, none other, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How do I get to that point? How do I get to where I can honestly accept that and make that a part of my life? I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, Bartimaeus knew he had a problem. Look what it says in verse number 46. The Bible says in verse number 46, he sat by the highway side begging. He knew he had a problem. Obviously, it's not something he didn't understand. He was blind. Because of that, he was a beggar. He could only sit by the highway side
Bartimaeus knew he had a problem. Can I tell you today, listen to me, if you're ever going to find the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship, you're going to have to come to the end of yourself and say, you know what, I've got a sin problem in my life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There's not a one of us sitting here today that can say, I've never sinned. If I were to ask you a question, say, have you ever, any of you out here never sinned, and you raise your hand, you just sinned right there because you lied. We've all sinned. We're all born with the sin nature. I thank God for our first grandson. I'm going to spoil him rotten. I'm going to buy him things if I can. I'm going to sugar him up, and then I'm going to give him back to Joanna. You discipline him. I'm just going to have fun. But it's a cool thing, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and we've been down to see him, and they've been up, and oh, man, you know, you bring home that beautiful little baby, and they're so perfect and everything, and, you know, they're gooing and gone, and they're doing other things I don't like, but this end, that end, you know what I'm saying. That's definitely when I hand them back, amen? But, you know, they, oh, man, they're wonderful. But you know what I noticed the last time, just a few weeks ago when I was with him? The old sin nature's kicking in. Now, I'm going to agree that when she was trying to feed him that strained carrot stuff, and he would push the spoon away, because he had been out with Grandpa the night before, and you know what we ate together? Chocolate milkshake. It was great. I took him over in the corner by myself, and I had a chocolate milkshake, and started, why not? He's almost 8 months old. He's ready for this. And of course, Mom looked over, what are you doing? He can't do it. I said, look at, he's loving it. Let's see, strained carrots or chocolate milkshake? What a choice. But all of a sudden, I started to notice when Mom was, now, Lucas, stop, when he did, oh, that pure little innocent child, the sin nature is beginning to show. You see, folks, we're not born into this world perfect. We're born into this world with a sin nature. And that's what blocks our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The old nature. And sad to say, let's be honest, that old nature can become a real problem in our life. But I want you to know today, Jesus Christ came to break you free. Not that we can ever get rid of it, because we're still on the wrong side of heaven, but we can sure be saved and know that we have victory through Jesus Christ. But we have to admit, I got a problem. People don't like to admit that today. People don't want to say, yes, I'm a sinner. We like to think we're pretty good. Most people I talk, well, you know, I'm a good man, and I pay my taxes, and I take care of this, and I take care of my family, and I work hard, and that's great, and that's wonderful qualities, and we should do those things, and we should be good citizens and honorable and decent. That's all wonderful, but that has nothing to do with relationship with Jesus Christ. We've got to come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what, I can't do it on my own. Because that's what the Bible teaches. I must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and humble myself and admit that I've got a problem. It's called sin. And I need the Lord in my life. Bartimaeus knew he had a problem. Notice secondly this, he wanted a remedy to the problem. I thank God he wanted a remedy to the problem. Notice what began to happen. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Man, when he was sitting over by the side of the highway and he knew that it was the one that could give him a physical healing, and there was, now remember I told you there was that great crowd of people around him and the disciples, everybody following Christ, what did he begin? He began to cry out. He began to cry out because he knew that Jesus Christ could be the answer. And notice that thirdly, if you would, this morning in verse number 47, not only began to cry out, but here's what he said as he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Friend, today, listen to me tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you need the mercy of God. But even if you are a Christian today, a follower of Christ, and you have that relationship, aren't you glad that every day his mercies are new? Every day. The psalmist said it every morning, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every day. I don't know about you, but I thank God every day for his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his goodness. Folks, we don't deserve anything outside of the mercy of Almighty God. And so he accepts that and believes it. He knows he's got a problem. He wants a remedy. And what does he do? He cries out to Jesus. He cries out because he knows that is where the answer is. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. Notice fourthly, if you would, this. He didn't let anybody keep him from Jesus. This is an amazing little part of the story. He's over by the side of the highway. He's crying out. And he's crying out loud because there's a great crowd around him. And so he's over there saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Probably screaming even louder than that, making a little bit of a predicament. And look what happens, verse number 48. I believe probably some of the disciples, in my mind's eye, it doesn't tell us this, but I think it's probably Peter because he was always that type of guy. They go over to him in verse number 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Can you just picture it now? Here's Bartimaeus over the side. The Lord Jesus Christ is walking, a great crowd of people all around him. And here's poor Bartimaeus. He's screaming probably at the top of his lungs. And these disciples, thinking it's just a little bit too much of a commotion, they go over to the side here and they say, hey, Bart, you need to quiet down. All right, you're making a little bit of a scene over here. A little too loud. Just settle yourself down. I like what the Bible says, though, concerning Bartimaeus. He didn't let anybody keep him from Jesus. Look at verse number 48. They charged him he should keep his peace. Look at, but he cried the more a great deal. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't let anybody stop him. He just starts to get a little louder and a little bolder because guess what? He wants a healing. And he knows the Lord can do it. And so even though the instruction of whoever it was gave him, he just begins to cry a little more, please, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out the great deal even more so. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, today, folks? Listen to me. Can I just, as a side note, say, the world wants to shut the mouths of Christians. Can I tell you what? If this world ever needed Jesus more than it does now, I don't know when. But just keep preaching and teaching and singing about Jesus. Keep being a testimony. Do it kindly. Speak the truth in love. But let the world know there is a Savior that loves them. And a Savior that can save them and give them the gift of eternal life. Don't let anybody stop you. Be kind. Be courteous. Be proper. But speak the truth in love. The world needs Jesus more than it ever has before. He didn't let anybody keep him from Jesus. Notice with you, what the next point is this. As he's going along, the disciples are telling him to be quiet, and he continues to scream. Notice what takes place in verse number 49. And Jesus stood still. Wow. And the Bible says, and commanded him to be called. Now remember what's happening. Bartimaeus is over there. There's a great crowd of people around Jesus Christ. There's a lot of talk, a lot of commotion, a lot of action. He's been told to be quiet. But he doesn't listen, and he keeps yelling. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that crowd, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking along. And I can just sort of see it. He stops. You ever do that? You think you hear somebody calling you? Whatever. That's what happened with the Lord. He just stopped. He said, I think I hear somebody in need. I think I hear somebody calling. And he just stopped and he listened. And he looked to the disciples, whoever was close beside him, and as he's standing still in this great crowd, this great commotion, he says, whoever's calling for me, go get him. I love this. My mind's working. I'm thinking it may not be true, but I think the very ones that told him to be quiet, the Lord sent to get him. Could have been Peter, I don't know. And so here they go back over to Bartimaeus, you know, humbly. All right, Bart, come on. He wants to see you. Bartimaeus didn't let anybody keep him from Jesus. And because of his cry and because of his desire, the Lord Jesus Christ heard him. Folks, listen to me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ today is seated on the right hand of his Father in heaven as our great high priest making intercession between us and the Father. And aren't you glad today, as a Bible-believing Christian, you can get down on your knees and you can pray and you can cry out to God and he hears you. all of the crowds and all of the loudness and everything that's in this world today, there is a quiet place when you can get alone with your Heavenly Father, Lord, and pray, and the Lord hears your prayers. That's what happened with Bartimaeus. And the Lord answered because he said, go get him. I want to meet this guy. And I want you to notice what happened fifthly in our lesson. Notice verse number 50. He came when Jesus called. Verse 49, they called the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Listen to this in verse number 50. He, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. I'm so glad he came when Jesus called. My friends, if Jesus Christ begins to knock on your heart's door and he begins to say, you need me, you better answer the call. And the Spirit of God begins to minister your heart and say, I need more than religion. I need a relationship with God. You better answer the call. You may be here this morning and you're searching for something. And I don't know where you've gone or what you've tried or what you've done. It may be all the things of this world. It may be drugs. It might be alcohol. It may be immorality. You're searching for peace. You're searching for something to give you contentment. Can I tell you today, you'll find it in Jesus Christ. But when he knocks on your heart's door and he begins to convict you and challenge you, you better come when Jesus calls. You might be here today and you're saved and you know the Lord and you're going to heaven, but maybe you know that you're not where you need to be with God, and today the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and he's calling you to get right with the Lord. You better answer the prayer when Jesus calls. The reason being is because when Jesus calls, it means he's ready to do something great. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way, did you notice what it said in verse number 50? I found this very interesting. He said this, speaking of Bartimaeus, casting away his garment. Say, what? Casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I don't know why you ever read and you read these stories, these things pop up. What is that all about? And so I got some books down and started to study. Back in Bartimaeus' day, a honest beggar who truly was blind wore what was called a recognizable beggar's cloak. Bartimaeus knew Jesus could help. He had so much faith that when he was called, he stood up, and you know what he did? He took that cloak off and he threw it away. He said, I ain't going to need that no more. He knew that God was going to give him a healing. He knew that he was going to be a different man. And so he threw it away. And the Bible says that he came to Jesus. So notice with me, he came when Jesus was called. But notice also, sixthly, we could say this, he left his begging garment behind. He was going to be a new man. Read on, Jesus answered, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him in verse 51, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That's what he wanted, and rightfully so. And Jesus, being God in flesh, the great miracle worker, the healer, he said, go thy way. Listen to this, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Go thy way. What made him whole? Religion? No. His faith in Jesus Christ. A relationship with the Lord. My friends, listen to me today. If you want to be made whole spiritually, it's faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I've never seen the Lord. I've never seen heaven. But by faith of the Word of God and what I've read and what I've studied, I believe. And by the way, do you know what it says in the book of Hebrews? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You're saved by faith and you're kept by faith. And thank God, one day your faith will become sight. It will. As real as Simcoe, Ontario is, as real as Toronto is, heaven is a place and it's real. And one day, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He will give you that gift of eternal life. When you die, yes, you will die physically, but the real you, the soul of man, will go to meet God in heaven, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. You may not know this, but we are different than any other creature in this world. Genesis chapter number 2, God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. That's our God consciousness, the spirit of man. Yes, this old body will again go to the grave. Dust it was created, dust it will return. But the real you, the real me, absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. What a wonderful hope and a blessing we have. How does that happen? Faith in Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus, thy faith has made you whole. Physically speaking, and it's true spiritually today. And what did he do when it took place? Look at verse number 52. It says, immediately he received his sight and, listen, followed Jesus in the way. You know, he became a Christ follower. That's what the word Christian means, little Christ. He became a Christ follower. That's a true definition of a Bible-believing Christian. A lot of people around the world like to use that to, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian, my dear friend, unless you've accepted Christ by faith and you are a follower of Christ. Religion doesn't make you a Christian. Relationship does. And that's what Bartimaeus understood. I believe with all my heart, he not only received his physical sight, but he received his spiritual sight. He received the gift of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today, Bartimaeus, who was blind, received a bountiful blessing because he bellowed boldly. I don't know what would have happened if Bartimaeus had stayed quiet. I guess he would have never received his gift from God. Today, I want you to understand this principle. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it comes by crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Give me the gift of eternal life. And Jesus Christ said this in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You become a child of God. That's that term, born again. It's a great term. Nicodemus learned it in John chapter number 3. Jesus said, you must be born again. What do you mean, Lord, born again? I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, Nicodemus, aren't you a Pharisee? Aren't you a religious leader? Don't you understand? You must be born again spiritually. You've already been born physically, but in order to have eternal life, you must be born spiritually. You are spiritually dead without Christ. I believe Nicodemus got a hold of that principle and got saved. And it's the same preaching today. Friends, we are spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. But I'm a religious person. Can't save you. I'm a moral person. That's great, but it can't save you. But I go to church once in a while. Wonderful, but it can't save you. The only way we can have the gift of eternal life is by faith in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you today is this. Do you have that relationship? Are you born again? If you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven? My friends, this is the most important question you're ever going to face on this earth. More important than your education, more important than who you're going to marry, is do you have a relationship with Christ? If you're saved today and you have that relationship, let me ask you this. Are you living by faith? Are you walking with the Lord? Is it where it needs to be? Don't let anybody turn you back. Don't let anybody turn you aside like they tried to do with Bartimaeus. Cry out, accept God's gift, and know the joy of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we love you today and we thank you for this wonderful story from the Word of God. And Lord, maybe there's someone today that, like blind Bartimaeus of old, is not sure that they're on their way to heaven. I pray today, Lord, through the Spirit of God, that they might know there is a no-so through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I'm not gonna. But you might be here this morning, and maybe you'd say this, Preacher, I'm here today just visiting. Maybe you're just a guest. Maybe you've been here before. I don't know. But you'd say this, if I were to die today, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. My friends, listen to me. This is important. This is your eternal destiny. I'm not sure. But God has spoke to my heart today. He's challenged me as I sat and listened. And I'm going to at least say this today. I'm interested in what the Bible has to say concerning heaven and eternal life. I don't necessarily get it all, but I'm interested this morning in this relationship over religion. God has spoke to me, and I am concerned. Would you just pray for me today? Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. It's between you, me, and the Lord. But just raise your hand real quick and say, I am concerned, and I want God to speak to me and lead me in the future. I'm open to listen to what God and His Word has to say about heaven and eternal life. Would you just pray for me? Would you just raise your hand real quick and put it right back down? I don't want to embarrass anybody. Just raise your hand and say, I'm concerned. I have to admit that, and God has spoke to my heart today. Would you just pray for me? Just put your hand up real quick and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anyone at all? Christian, you're here today, and you know you have that relationship, but maybe you'd say, you know, there's some things I need to cry out to God about in my life. Just some things that maybe are between me and the Savior, but God has spoke to me today, and He's challenged my heart. And I want to follow Christ in the way that I should, just like Bartimaeus did. Preacher, would you just pray for me today? Would you raise your hand real quick and put it right back down? Would there be any? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Just some things. Friends, God loves you today. He proved His love on the cross of Calvary. God loves you so much. Would you come to Him today? Any others today? Say, God has spoken to my heart. Let's all stand together if you would this morning. I know at the end of every service, we give you the opportunity just to come and maybe pray. We call it an invitation time. Maybe you want somebody to speak with you, the pastor, one of our ladies here today. And there's some spiritual needs I have in my life. Maybe it is to accept Christ and have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's just to come and get something right with the Lord that's on your heart. You can come this morning as we sing the song of invitation. You want to pray on your own, that's fine. We sort of call it the old-fashioned altar, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you need to come and talk with one of the men, one of the ladies. They'd be glad to take the Word of God and share with you whatever you need today. God is speaking to your heart. We sing this verse of invitation. Come right now. Would you come? As God speaks to your heart today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned. Be like Bartimaeus of old and call out to Christ and develop that relationship with the Lord. Trust in the Word and come. Christian, you need to come today. Would you come? Only trust Him. Only trust Him.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Save you. He will save you now.
The verse, the instruments are going to play, and if God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? You know, a lot of people will say, you know, Lord just doesn't have time for me. The Lord couldn't save me. You don't know what I've done. The Bible says in another passage there were multitudes, and yet the Lord heard blind Bartimaeus. He knows your heart, and He can hear your cry today if you'll just trust in Jesus Christ. Let this be your verse. I'm going to have Brother Baker sing one more verse. And if God has spoke your heart, would you step out and come? We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man. We want you to be as comfortable as we can. We'll give you as much time as you need to answer all the questions that you have. But I'll make you this promise. We're not going to show you a gospel track or piece of literature. We're not going to take you through a church covenant or creed. We're going to show you what God's Word says. We'll take you right to the Bible. What God's Word says is necessary for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's have one more verse. This is your verse. You step out and come.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We just have a couple of announcements, then you'll be dismissed. Thank you again for being our guest today. If you heard the message and it's been working on your heart, it is our prayer that you will come to Jesus Christ and have a saving knowledge of Him before it's eternally too late. And I understand that when you're in a room full of people you may not know, it'd be difficult for you to walk down here and take somebody's hand. Please don't let that stop you from knowing Christ today. We will be around after the service. Please come speak to Pastor Strachan, myself, any of our folks on these front rows would be glad to help you. If you see somebody from our church with the Bible, they'll help you, all right? And they'll take you to the Bible and answer any questions you have. So please go ahead and do that. I'm going to ask Pastor Strachan, if you'll make your way out to the lobby, you can go right through that door there and give the men your microphone. And we've put all your CDs into sleeves. The men in the side room did that for us so that it's a little easier for people to take home. So if our guests will stop by and see him, he'll shake your hand on the way out the door and greet you. And please pick up one of those CDs. He'll keep track of that and we'll make sure he's taken care of for those things. All right, we've had a great day in the house of the Lord. We had a lot of things change. If you haven't been here since last Sunday, you've missed a lot. In the past week, Norma Wiedrich went home to be with the Lord, and her funeral service was yesterday. These beautiful flowers right here were sent over by the family after the service yesterday. And so be in prayer for the Wiedrich family as they're grieving the loss of Norma. Also, Ray Stone went home to be with the Lord. We had mentioned last Sunday morning that he had had a stroke on Wednesday. He passed away, went home to be with the Lord. We were glad to be able to spend a little bit of time with him Wednesday afternoon. His funeral was also yesterday, and we are thankful for his life and testimony, so be in prayer for the Stone family. All right, we're also praying for the Sims family, and they still, it's so difficult because his dad did pass away a week and a half ago, and now they have to wait a long time for the memorial service, so that's a difficult time in between, and so remember them. Is it the 28th? The 28th will be a memorial service for Kenneth Sims up in Gravenhurst, so remember the Sims family in prayer as well. All right, I'm going to shut this off for a minute, Brother Robert, if you can kill my volume. They can't hear me out there. All right. Tonight, we're going to have our little brown box out there to try to be a blessing to Pastor Strachan. If you'd like to put a card in there to encourage him, put a little gift in there, that's fine. Just let me encourage you, don't give him a Tim Hortons gift card. It doesn't work where he is. They don't have them down that far south, all right? He'd have to go about an hour to get a Tim Hortons coffee, and then it's just not worth it. But if you wanted to give a little gift card or something that he could use, but remember, he is in the United States, so it is difficult to do that. But if you'd like to put a gift in or a card in just to encourage him, we try to do that whenever we have one of our boys back home. And so if you'd like to encourage him, please do so. All right, we'll put the box out following the morning service, and it'll be there for tonight as well. All right, Pastor McPherson, you come and close our service this morning.
It's been a wonderful open house Sunday morning service, and I'm so thankful for Dr. Strachan being here with us this morning and preaching to us. You know, one of the most important things that he said about right at the end was, God so loves us. God so loves us. Each one of us, he cares for us. We're going to have our next meeting tonight. Please remember to bring your minister reports and completed maps to turn in to your leader. Thank you for your friendly service in this behalf. And please pray for Diane Finley, especially for her as she deals with the people in our community, and that the Lord would bless her. And we're thankful for her being here today. Pray for our youth summit. The bus will be leaving at 5 p.m. on Friday, September the 25th. They will be back around 11 o'clock. Supper along the way. The bus will be leaving at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, so it's leaving 2 days and coming back on the same day, and will return around 5 p.m. You will need to bring money for food each day. If you can only attend one day, that is fine. Please tell Mr. Calvin Baker by Wednesday if you plan on coming. All ladies are invited to the bridal shower of Kristen Bouchfield. It will be held at the church on Friday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. Christians registry and colors are posted on the bulletin board outside the nursery. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your goodness. We're thankful, Lord, that we're saved. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, that you would speak to their heart, Lord, that they might have a personal relationship with you, that they might turn their heart over to you, Lord, and be saved. We're thankful for Diane Finley being here today, Lord. We pray your rich blessing upon her as she ministers to the people of her community, Lord. Thank you for her faithfulness in serving here, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon her. We pray for the Stone family, Lord, that you would comfort them concerning the passing of Ray. We pray also for the Weidrich family, Lord, that you would bless this family and comfort them, Lord. Bless us this afternoon, Lord. May we have a good afternoon, and bless the singing time and the preaching time that we have tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.